Terminator.
Wait, no.
No,
don't
we wish.
One day. Maybe if this movie's as cheesy as
you told
as
me
it
was
seems.
Terminator.
I did tell
Do
you
Do I
that.
Have to go home now?
No, you should say this is better.
Oh, good. What are we watching, Pete?
Hey there, movie fans. Pete here.
And Brian.
And Neil.
With three dads navigating the films of our youth, trying to figure out if we should force our kids to watch them, if they hold up, if they should be buried in a desert in Arizona. Tonight, we have a candidate for possibly that option.
Oh, boy.
Who recommended this movie?
I did.
Pete
Who's
did.
Seen this movie? I have.
He has.
Pete's seen this movie. Neil, have you seen this movie?
Goodness, no.
Oh, I haven't seen this movie either.
But, Neil, what did you do today?
I did, however, get curious, and I watched the trailer earlier.
That was a mistake.
Can you just go out on a limb and, first of all, tell our good listeners what we're watching tonight?
We're watching Battle Beyond the Stars, and if that doesn't seem familiar to you, it's probably because you've never heard of it or seen it.
This is like the movie where like you go to see Star Wars and it's sold out, and you're like, oh no, well, what else can we see? And it's like, oh, well, there's Who Framed Roger Rabbit or something like that. And like, oh no, that's sold out too. Well, I guess we'll go rent a movie, and all that's left at the movies is,
yeah,
you know,
so,
Betamax.
Right. I watched the trailer on YouTube, and the top comment was, when you tell your mom you want Star Wars, and she says you have Star Wars at home.
That is eerily accurate. What did you think about the preview?
I was excited by it has a cool looking poster, and then it just really took a nosedive.
Right after seeing the poster.
Straight down, which is surprising because it has people in it. It has Roger Corman.
I mean, it's got
it national people. Treasure. James Cameron did the special effects in this movie.
He learned a lot from his mistakes made in this movie, I
well,
guess.
Well, no, it just maybe he realized after this, like, I'm just going to have to invent all of the special effects because the stuff they gave me sucked. But it might, guys, I don't know, you
right.
might enjoy
well,
this movie.
I mean, we've had, like, sleepers come out of nowhere before.
Buckaroo Banzai across the convention.
We were even saying that Ice Pirates.
But that had Jeff Goldblum.
Well, I mean, but, so. Well, yeah.
And Peter Weller.
And Peter Weller. I mean, but, so we might find that this movie is that cheesy level where we get really excited and just have a goofy good time. So that could happen.
It's possible.
Or.
Notice how I'm not talking.
Or we have, you know what, nothing's going to be as bad as Daryl. I mean, nothing can take that title away.
Daryl is still the worst movie we have seen.
We've seen bad movies. We have seen movies that have been, like never
want
to see
realistically,
again.
Howard the Duck is not as bad as Daryl.
It's realistically, that is true.
And Masters of the Universe.
Nope, nowhere near. I will happily watch
it. And Short Circuit.
I still wouldn't.
Cat Lady.
I mean,
it's tough.
I mean, if there was Short Circuit, Daryl, and a kick to the nuts, then my nuts can get hit twice.
Well, you know, I've already had a certain procedure, so I don't need them.
They're all vestigial at this point anyway,
yes.
But still.
So, Pete, why did you pick this movie?
Well, this is a movie that I saw in the theater as a six-year-old. Yeah. So, it qualified.
That's true. That's a very minimum requirement. I
also watched the preview a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. Then I watched the rest of the preview, and I was like, I don't remember the rest of this. So I was curious, and I want to share that with you.
And that is what we do here. We're supposed to
dredge
the movies from our past and bring them to the light of the current times.
Yes.
Healthy sense of curiosity.
Yeah, we are going to shine the harsh light of day upon this.
And really, when has curiosity ever been bad at anything or for anyone?
Yeah, like, I have a cat.
I would like to point out, when we were renting this movie, we had the choice between standard definition and high definition, and we were pretty sure the standard would be better.
I feel like us saving that dollar probably was worth it.
And I said no.
No.
We
no.
have standards here, and that standard is not in the definition.
We do not need to see anything.
We did not standard. We are high definition only for many reasons.
Well, I guess our listeners are probably understanding that with our multitude of fans and all the money we're pouring in, we can afford to just throw away our dollars on high definition.
I'm just saying, just a little
Kmart
bit of petty
Star
cash,
Wars.
That extra $1 is you are going to feel the gravitas.
Are you saying we had you at high?
By definition.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then.
So we're going to get some scotchy scotch and some ice cream. Mm-hmm. We are not doing beer with this one.
Nope.
we're running pure.
Back, and we are going to answer three questions. Question number one, does this movie hold up?
Uh-huh. Question number two.
Should it be rebooted? Which might actually be an interesting question.
True.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see.
Or sequeled.
Right.
Or prequeled.
Prequeled. Yeah. I hope there's a bootleg crawl that starts this movie. And then
I just thought you said Krull, and my God, do I want that rebooted so bad still. That would be so. Did you ever see Krull?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I mean, of course he has.
Well, it's one of those ones that like many people have not. But if you're a fan of Liam Neeson, it is his
first. Can we just watch Krull and tell them we watched this movie?
It probably will be fine.
Hey, everybody, we watch Krull again. Whatever.
And I think I have an idea of question number three, if my kids will be encouraged or forced to watch this movie.
Fair. All right, well, let's kick the tires, light the fires, and battle the stars beyond.
Let's burn this fucker down.
All right, fast forward in time now.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
We have battled beyond the stars, gentlemen.
And yet there were even some stars in this movie.
Like seven of them.
Yes, seven is quite the lucky number, dare we say.
A magnificent indeed. Number. Yeah, sure. Did I take that one? That was your line.
It's fine. this plot has been done multiple times now.
Yes.
Yeah. We also realized it's in the description of the rental.
Epic Space Saga.
And the Seven Samurai with script by John Sayles and special effects by James Cameron.
Yeah.
A young man must enlist the help of seven mercenaries and their deadly spaceships.
You know,
were those spaceships deadly?
I mean,
they died.
No one survived. Everyone in the spaceship suffered grievous injuries.
Yes, not OSHA compliant.
In the unsafe sense, they were very deadly.
Okay. I don't apologize at all for this.
No, nor should you.
I don't think there's anything to apologize for.
I was pre-apologizing before we started.
Yeah, I mean, we set the bar super low.
I know. So. It's wonderful when the bar's on the ground and you actually don't trip over it.
Yeah, the trailer showed all the worst parts.
Which is a choice.
You were very... The hot dog sequence.
Yeah,
it was. Oh, man. That is a hot dog. Although it was kind of cool when Nestor like passed it to his other buddy Nestor, and buddy Nestor ate it, and then you're watching all four and five Nestors chewing, and they're like, niacin.
There was some clever stuff. There was some very funny, weird stuff. There was some really good stuff and stuff that didn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, the plot alone is a goal. I mean, I was really into the story the first time I saw this in Seven Samurai. And I was amused by this in Magnificent Seven. And I liked it in the reboot of Magnificent Seven. And I watched this movie, too.
Yeah. There were some differences that were noticeable.
Yeah, there were some choices.
Do we want to... Synopsize this?
I synopsized. I feel like I just did.
you kind of did, but I'm going to make you do it again.
Battle Beyond the Stars, a 2-cent synopsis. Battle Beyond the Stars takes the story of Seven Samurai and puts it in space.
Period.
You could just watch Seven Samurai and close your eyes and picture Star Wars. Ta-da! Jazz hands.
I wish listeners could see the jazz hands. They were magnificent.
I mean, the moment I saw it, I was like, wait a second. He's going out to recruit seven. Let me guess. He can find seven people. Like, I'm done. Like, I started playing on my phone. I knew how this was going to go.
You did not. You watched more of that.
I did. But I mean, I was like, I have a feeling a lot of these guys ain't going to make it.
That is true.
Yeah. That'll be on the stars.
Sorry, Neil.
Can you even top that synopsis?
I don't know. I mean, you know, they kind of build it as a Star Wars knockoff. It's not really that. Like you said, it's a bunch of stuff. Basically, I think it just comes down to you can take Roger Corman out of the dollar store, but you can't take the dollar store out of Roger Corman.
I did this for next to nothing. Oh. You don't say. You don't say, Raj.
Battle Beyond the Stars. is a metaphor for eruptive longing to be free of the bonds and chains that hold you down to further your species. Sex. Mostly about sex.
Yeah, I think you stole a lot of that from Valkyrie.
Who there didn't... was a lot of that.
Did
there
she
was
have a name? She had a name.
Yeah, she was Saint X-Men.
Saint?
Yeah.
I like their saints.
Yeah. Titty balls. Space titty balls.
There were a lot of weird choices with ship design.
Oh my gosh. So on that note, if you looked at the Corsair ship, which is Zed's Corsair ship, it looked like a cross between the racing snail from Never Ending Story and the titties from Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was H.R. Giger by way of, like, Heavy Metal titties.
It was like a slug made out of, like, balls and boobs.
Balls and boobs.
It was so weird. And then we had the glowing jellyfish nester ship.
Yep.
And we had, like, the grouper mouth of the lizard.
What did
dude.
You call that? Sideways vagina ship.
Yeah, like, everything had this weird organic sexual nature.
It did.
Everything was, like, just a very thinly veiled...
We're ragging on it, but a lot of the space shots were super cool looking,
like,
too.
There were more than a couple times legitimately, where I was like, that's cool. A cool camera shot.
Yeah.
Because James Cameron was the model maker that was promoted to become the art director during this movie.
Right. We should definitely bring up the point that using models to have, like, your space shots and your action sequences is way cooler than a bunch of, like, 3D stuff. Like, watching this, I'm like, that's a real thing. Like, that was something that existed
and
was built and had detail and depth and looked neat. Yeah,
the music was compelling. Who's the wrote the score?
Horner. Yeah.
What's his first name?
John. I think later on he did Star Trek stuff.
He sat in that corner with eating the Christmas pie that one time. I know him well.
But see, this is where the dollar store thing comes in, because while the ships looked good, the lasers sounded awful.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of the sound effects and, you know, 1980s, practical effects were just substandard.
The biggest
issue... Because this is going to segue right to question one on this.
Well, I think the biggest issue with the lasers was that while watching, I noticed that everything was quick cuts and then, like, repeated shots. So a shot of one ship firing a laser was used multiple times.
Not just the quick camera shots, but specifically, as Neil was saying, the sound of the nails on chalkboard. This was the first movie that we had to, like, legitimately turn down during some of the battle sequences because it was just too much.
Are we old, guys?
Yes.
It's a little loud. It's a little aggressive.
I didn't mind that, but it was so grating.
Yeah, it was
painful.
Grating.
I mean, we all know what lasers sound like. If you're going to copy something from Star Wars, copy that.
Pew, 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 pew.
Actually, I think I would appreciate it if it was just the guy, not Zed, Chad, just going,
Chad.
Sure.
Yeah. Finger guns. Finger guns.
Honestly, that would have made a much better movie if it was just.
It was a sweeted.
Sweeted movie. Oh, I would love to watch Be Kind Rewind. That movie's awesome.
That is a good movie.
But I think it was like in the 2000s. So, question number one for me. Obviously, the story is timeless.
Tale as old as time. At least samurai's hard to rhyme.
But some of the performances, weirdly, were awesome in how terrible they were. So George Peppard, racist space cowboy.
Yeah.
But he had a Scotch dispensing belt buckle, which I want desperately.
We talked about that. It was not Scotch. That was not Scotch that he kept telling you. He was drinking pee.
It was fermented.
It was his
it
own
It was
piss.
Fermented.
He hasn't had whiskey in years.
Fermented. Let me have it. Let me have this moment. Scotch belt buckle.
With its own soda dispenser, too.
And ice. It did have like an
ice. He pushed really hard and bloop. A little ice came out.
There were too many scenes of that guy fiddling with his
crotch.
What
was it, like a Dune water suit? Recycled water suit?
It was just reclaimed whiskey, yeah.
I've been drinking the same glass of whiskey for 3 years.
No, actually, if they ever rebooted this, that would be awesome. Because you'd want to put that gag in, for sure. Sure. Been drinking the same glass of whiskey for 15 years.
Mosky at that point.
What do you call it? It's Wasky.
It's Pisky.
Pisky.
I can't tell where the piss starts and the whiskey ends.
So, just to give like a quick overview, like for those of you that haven't seen Seven Samurai or The Magnificent Seven.
Or the reboot of Magnificent
Seven. Essentially, Shad is a farmer on a farmer planet, and Big Bad Roper from Enter the Dragon, Saxon, Sauron.
Signori?
Yeah. What's his name?
Suter.
Not Cooter.
Sodor?
Sodor.
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 Oh, Sodor. God. From the island of Sodor. Lord. Sandor. Lando Calrissian.
It doesn't matter.
Right. He comes and he's like, by the way, I'm bad and you're weak and you're going to pay. Oh, it was like in A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
It was Hopper from A Bug's Life. Like, yeah, and I'm going to come back at the end of your harvest and you're going to give me all the grain. Otherwise, I'm going to kill y'all and you're my colony now. And just to prove it, I'm going to send out some snipers and we're going to do lasers on like three of you. And the whole planet's going to be like, oh my God.
They killed three people in 40 seconds. Their weapons are terrible.
So they leave and then Shad goes on a quest, a side quest even, to find a bunch of mercenaries to come back and fight for them and win.
And of course, they're all super ragtag, colorful, with a rich backstory apiece.
Yes, I loved Kamen.
The lizard.
How'd I? Sure. A little on the nose on that one.
Yeah.
And why? He had beef with Sodor and was like, I'm in.
Well, he was the last of the Kamen.
Oh, so his Sermonins.
Sodor Sandor.
Yes, that one.
Corwin.
Right.
Corbin.
Killed his whole planet. Because they even said at the end, it's like, I thought I had the honor of making you all extinct. That was actually kind of a cool line.
Actually, but that wasn't the line at all. He's like, I erased your what was it? Like, your, not kind, not type, like, your form.
Form.
Yeah.
Form.
I erased your form years ago. Okay.
It felt like there were a lot of legal things that they couldn't say.
Yeah, like, I thought I destroyed your race.
Nay.
There was a cleanse. No. Form? We eradicated your form?
Overall, though, I would say that, like, the movie did not hold up. It just, like, I wanted it to, because it had some moments and notes to it that I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. But it was not a good movie.
I think for me, the big issue I had was that the character of Shad was really unlikable. Like, there wasn't...
His name was Shad.
He kind of, like, just sort of bumbles through everything and then takes on, like, this weird holier-than-thou attitude with everything. I mean, even when the Valkyrie shows up, like, outflies him, and she's like, I am literally bred for battle. All we want to do is fight and have a glorious death. It's like, you know what? We don't need you.
What's that ship following us? Oh, maybe we should go away.
We don't need you. We don't need you and your superior fighting skills. Okay, just go away. She's so annoying. Yeah. That was his attitude for everything.
You're absolutely right. He was Luke from A New Hope for the first 10 minutes, but it was the whole movie.
Yeah.
Incredibly annoying.
But I want to go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
Yes, it was that the whole time.
We really need some mercenaries. I'm a mercenary. We need mercenaries.
Yeah, where are we going to find them? I'm a mercenary. Only there were some around us.
Oh,
I am a mercenary and I have huge tits and all I love to do is talk about fighting and having sex.
That's true. She really was like the 12-year-old dream from 1980 of like just this statuesque blonde woman who was all about violence and taking authority and slapping ass and just getting some. And he's like, I want none of it.
Banging and bombs.
We do not need your kind here at all in our safe, peaceful valley. Please take your weapons and go home. Go home, ma'am.
Ma'am, too. Yeah, ma'am.
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 And you're really not exaggerating.
No.
But it was that bad.
It was like a Mormon who was just like, no. We'll find our own way. Thank
I'm you. I'm waiting for marriage.
So it was just... It
wanted
was
to mean something.
And that made it so hard to, like, even care. And then, like, all these, like, ragtag people we don't really get to
know. There's no connection.
There's no, it's just like, oh, and then there's this random person. Then there are these guys who all have painted on glowing eyes. Cool. Lizard dude. And then cowboy who's somehow from the United States?
Not just from the United States. From, like, I don't know, Alabama.
Ugh. We're going to lose listeners in Alabama, no, but...
good. There were the stars and bars on the side of his spaceship.
He was not...
Don't get me wrong. George Peppard, you know, the A-Team, loved it.
Oh, that's why I was like, when a plan comes together, I'm like, boy, he really does look a lot like Hannibal.
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is. Did it really take you that long?
It really did. Just
are you now
I was old?
Oh, my God.
Well, when you made the joke, I'm like, man, that really does sound like he's...
I know, because you looked at me. You're like, oh, my God, dude, you nailed it. And I was like...
I just thought they were making a joke, but I realized, oh, see, they were doing a poor copy of even that show.
Well, this was before that came out.
Sure.
It was.
Damn.
Yeah, like 2 years, too.
Gross.
I know. This was like, his career was waning at this point. And then, like, the Law Offices of Solomon was in this.
Yeah. Robert Vaughn, he had a coolly written character, but he just phoned it in so hard.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he went, like, to the Daniel Day-Lewis method acting school of space mercenaries and went out and became a space mercenary for 1,000 years and then amassed so much wealth and hid on a planet just so that he could come back and film this movie with just his eyes.
Except it seemed as though like he went Daniel Day-Lewis for like, we would like you to go Daniel Day-Lewis. How about I give you Daniel Day-Lewis but at rock bottom prices?
Yes.
He looked like he was getting poked with a tennis ball, and they're like, we're going to make it with computers. And he hated every moment of it.
And I bet you at one point he's like, at least I'm not doing commercials for lawyers.
Right. Just all of this. I don't know. He was just like, stare intently. And if you have to shoot the laser, almost blink, but just kind of like squeeze your eyes hard.
Yeah. Harder. And it was too bad because he was like a, I don't know, a rich ne'er-do-well, and he had a machine that gave him drugs whenever he wanted, and he had a machine that gave him prostitutes.
Dead prostitutes.
And, like, they gave him a lot to work with.
They even, that scene with the two kids, Mister, are you a bad man?
Yes. It would have been great if he was just like, yes, and I do bad things.
What are those bad things that you do? I eat children.
And, well, he was polishing his rod while he was talking to them.
His gun.
Same difference.
The knob of his gun.
Yeah.
But the line he delivers is, when you think differently from everyone else, they call you bad.
And it's like, were you ever good as a kid? Or it was like, when you were younger, were you good? And he's like, I was never that young. I actually thought some of those lines were pretty...
I mean, it was an opportunity to like say all sorts of deep things or give us a little more connection, and it just felt stilted like a B-movie. This whole movie was a B-movie.
Oh, it definitely was a B-movie.
But you could tell.
This is the question I really want to sink into, because aside from the fact that it's Seven Samurai, if you had the chance to just completely rewrite the script for this kind of Seven Samurai-esque space jam with titty ball ships, what would you do?
Well, before, Neil, did this hold up for you? I just want, like, we didn't get a definitive answer.
I feel like we all...
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
That's fair. That is a fair statement.
Wait. That is a simple statement.
So we can't let him.
I will say
how much better than you thought it was going to be.
Well, here, I'll say this. The good parts were much better than I thought they were going to be, and it never got worse than I expected it could be.
Yeah, no.
That's a wonderful...
We've never even approached Daryl territory.
No, we definitely didn't approach Daryl territory. That's because something happened in this movie.
Yeah, lots happened. But you're right. I enjoy the whole Seven Samurai idea. It's a really cool, very simple plot, and you can apply it, as we saw with Magnificent Seven 1 and 2, that it works. And honestly, to see it in space and done with a little more deft and a little more writing... I would be cool with that. I wouldn't mind seeing that done in space, but I wouldn't couch it in this weirdness. I would try to keep it a little more Seven Samurai-esque.
See, I'd almost ditch the Seven Samurai motif patina on the side of it, so to speak, and kind of start it into the occupation that Sador has already conquered and do like a complete shift of like uprising type thing.
I know what you're thinking. So he's already like a bad guy, yeah, right? And he is like a known scourge of the galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a bunch of like ragtag kind of like bandits or whatever who suddenly, you know, find themselves on a job.
Resistance?
No. That's more like they're on like some sort of job and they're all sort of find themselves like working together towards this one goal of defeating this person. Almost like as though, you know, they're guardians of the galaxy, if you will.
They're protectors of the solar system. Yes, that's exactly what I was going for.
And each one has a colorful backstory, but
like
it turns
Nestor
out in the end, like when they band together, that they're actually stronger. And family is what you make of it. You know, I think we're onto something here.
Oh my god, Fast and the Furious 12.
Oh my god, this is what the Fast and Furious.
This is exactly what it's gonna be. Oh my god, Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel should be Shad.
No, I am
Vin
so
Diesel
tired.
As Shad.
I'm so tired of the Fast and Furious, everything.
If this was rebooted, who would you put into some of these roles?
Oh, God.
Come on.
I
want Mel Brooks as Nestor, but all of them.
No,
I'd
have
CGI Mel Brooks up and down the floor.
No, I'd have Mel Brooks be the old and like the head in a box.
Oh, yes.
Inventor who makes all the androids.
Dr. Hephaestus or Hephaestus?
Hephaestus.
Yeah.
Not Greek. God.
Uncle Fezziwig.
Exactly.
Tom Holland would be kind of fun as Chad.
As Chad?
Tom. You need somebody likable.
You need someone.
That's Tom Holland. That man is so likable.
Let's do all the Toms. We'd have Tom Hardy as one of them.
Tom Hardy?
Tom Hiddleston as one.
Tom Hardy's the cowboy. Tom Hiddleston is gonna be
the Cayman.
No, I was gonna have him be Gamut or
Geld.
Ooh, yeah. Well, he played Khan,
right? No, that was Cumberbatch.
Oh, that was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Let's have him in there too.
Let's
take all the Marvel actors and just put them in here.
Just take the whole Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I'm okay with the weirdness of all the mercenaries he collects. You just have to make the Vardhan likable, and you want them to be saved. Like, I really didn't care at all if the whole planet got blown up.
Wait, what was the name of the Vardhan? Vardhan? Varda? I had no idea that
MacGuffins.
Was the name. MacGuffins, yes.
Yeah.
Planet MacGuffin!
Yeah, the little commune hippie people that were down there, I guess, farming stuff, and I don't know what they were doing.
They were a farming planet.
Well, see, I think that's the part of it.
I love the dial-a-drug thing, though.
Boop! And I love, he's like, did he take it? Did he end up taking
it? No, he thought about it, and he's like, and no.
No.
Well, that's right, because he is
the world's
biggest weenie.
Super lame.
So lame.
And actually, wait a second. So you could have, like, that moment in Big when Tom Hanks gets laid and he comes into the office the next day. If they had a moment like that in the movie where he goes to sexy space place, right? And takes the blue pill, and then fucks the dead space.
Oh my god!
And then he comes out and be like, yeah, now I'm an asshole now.
They already did that in Cabin Boy, where he's like, I came to this island as a cabin boy,
yeah,
and I've left it as a cabin man.
Yeah, no one watched that movie.
Yeah, it's your loss because that was way better than this.
Marginally better than this. Marginally better.
Gel could easily be Matthew McConaughey. Would have been cooler if he did.
Oh my god. If Gel was Matthew McConaughey, that would have been fucking awesome, dude.
All right.
Or as a space cowboy.
So, I think because
he kind of would already fit into that.
That's almost too perfect.
Right.
I think what we're finding, though, is that it was simply like the movie would have worked, say, for some really key moments of like an unlikable main character. No one can connect to the people and their plight. We were so, like, thrown off by all the random weirdness. Like, they leaned hard into weirdness, but no way to connect the characters or to be interested in them beyond, that's a weird-looking
Yeah, so,
lizard.
Like, we were talking before, like, the camera shot, the space camera shots, and some of them were actually really cool, but there was just too much of some of it instead of actually building up any sort of dialogue and character development. It was just, like, Seven Samurai. Here now are seven of them. We're going to fight and game over.
Well,
we could have actually had a little bit more dialogue and build up, honestly. I would have liked a better script.
The bad guy didn't even seem that bad. Like, it was more like,
yeah,
He's again, like, it was like Star Trek level bad guy.
I am a king. I go and conquer things. You are the next person on my list to conquer. And there wasn't any motivation.
I would even appreciated that if he had like this, almost like a Xerxes, like, you know, I have come to conquer you. You are welcome to be blessed and chosen by being conquered.
Okay, so the guy that played Xerxes in 300 should have been
this guy. That would have been great. Awesome. I mean, just that level of personality where he was so full of himself that they should be so thrilled, much like, you know, when Thanos's, you know, herald arrived and says, you have been gloriously chosen to be culled by Thanos. Praise him. I mean, like, something. Instead, we just get, I'm going to take all your stuff and da-da-da.
I really thought A Bug's Life did a really good job.
That was also really good. So I think that's something that's just better writing. Like, zhuzh this up. Somebody zhuzh this up.
Zhuzh this up. Now, my favorite question. Question number 3. Would you have your kids watch this movie?
No.
As punishment?
No, because I could either make them watch the entire unedited Seven Samurai, which, again, is glorious. It's
long.
It's glorious, but as if you're watching at the age of 8, it is a long, long movie. There are a lot of scenes of someone just looking sad, hanging on for a long time.
Yeah.
Like 20 seconds of old man looking sad.
Long camera shots.
Uh-huh.
It's a fair point.
So again, I can...
But like, he's going to have to watch that at like college and film class anyways.
But see, then as a reward, I'd just be like, hey buddy, do you want to watch the remake of Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington? Like, you know, is it a good
Chris
movie?
Chris Pratt.
It's a fun movie. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's good.
Ethan Hawke is in that.
Everyone's interesting. Colorful people, like, doing things. And a really funny, what's his name, who played Kingpin?
Woody Harrelson.
No, not the bowling movie.
No. You're welcome. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
But honestly, though, I think that would have been a great.
I mean, Woody Harrelson. But yeah, you know what? I adore Woody Harrelson.
I do too.
Ever since he was Galaxia on Anger Management.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
I'm a Woody Harrelson fan. So that's my thing. Is this, I don't think there's any place in this for me to like show the kids and be like, you need to watch this.
Oh, no, definitely not. You need to watch this. But, and this isn't like a heavy punishment kind of thing. But I could actually, when they're a little bit older, like they're teenagers, right? And they just kind of pissed me off a little bit in the afternoon. And they're like, hey, Dad, can we just watch something? I'm like, yeah, you know, sure, here. And I'd put it on and I'd just take the controller out of the room so they can't turn it off. And like, they might walk out after 10 minutes. But knowing my kids, they love TV so much, they're going to suffer through it anyways. And then they're going to get like, pissed off at the end. Dad, why did you make us watch that movie? Like, I didn't make you watch that movie. But, by the way, clean up your shit outside later, okay?
You just played yourselves.
Exactly. This is the perfect movie vehicle for that. In my, like, they're supposed to have mowed the lawn. They did a shitty job. And they, like, I folded the laundry, but they didn't put it away. And it's, like, all unfolded upstairs in their room because they were looking for, like, their favorite pair of shorts. And that just pisses me off a little bit. Dad, can we watch a movie? Sure, kids, here you go. And I walk out, go to the mall, but I bring the controller with me. And then they're pissed off when I, why didn't you make us watch that? I didn't. So, that's my jazz hands right there.
All right.
With a middle finger to my kids. I love you guys. Love you so much.
Parenting. Neil?
If they wanted to watch it, they could. I mean, you know, there are a lot of movies to watch.
Well, for the record,
but you do know, like, if a TV's on, they're just going to, like, stare at the magic screen. But
yeah.
They're not going to turn it.
I love how you say, like, if they want to, but how would they ever find this? Like, how much TV have we, like, indulged in over the years and has never even crossed my radar?
Well, it's taken me 42 years since this came out to watch it. So.
And what did we find just below it? Hawk the Slayer. Are we doing that next week? I hope not.
No.
Oh, come on. That looked amazing. The preview for that looked wonderfully
bad. I mean,
look,
I am intrigued by Hawk
the Slayer.
I really am. With Hawk Jack
Palance. The Slayer. Let's be right.
Hawk. Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
This movie is the beginning of a rabbit hole I can see happening. A lot of other bad movies.
You could probably make a whole podcast on just watching whatever Amazon recommends after you see, like, oh, watch Hark. Hark.
That's after then, you watch Hark. And then you get into Hark.
Crossworlds.
Look at the thing with the guy and the dinosaur. What is that? Like, the things, the things they're recommending for us now.
The people that time forgot.
Woof.
I mean,
1977. You are going down a rabbit hole. Like, again, this is what will happen. Like,
it's,
you do a whole podcast.
With Prime.
Yo, good. Good God.
Okay then.
And lots of Robinson Crusoe.
What are we gonna watch next week?
Oh, so I feel like we have already sort of teed up what we're gonna watch.
Really?
Oh yeah. All right. So let's think about it.
Thank you, Neil.
So we just watched this movie.
Yes.
Which was the birth.
Quotation.
Birth. Of James Cameron.
Do you want to really go there?
And then, what do we springboard into? Like, because we've just seen, like, what James Cameron can do when, you know,
given
trying
no
to,
budget.
With no budget and polishing a turd. What if he's given, like,
a
more
movie?
Rain in a movie where he can really, I don't know, terminate it like a boss?
Ooh. I do think we'll be back next week.
Kindergarten Cop.
I knew it.
Well, I am all for that.
Yeah,
I
mean, let's do it.
Also, I got to say that Terminator is one of those movies we used to watch
a lot.
In the young household. That was probably one of my first movies.
For me, it was Predator, RoboCop, and Terminator. Those were the three.
This is one's up there for all three of us. Yeah.
And if this sweetens the deal for our listeners, if you have the ability to pause quickly, there is Arnold Schwarzenegger weighing in that movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he's walking naked through, like, to go see the street punks, and you see him walking across the parking lot. Yeah.
How long did it take you to find that?
We've seen the movie a lot, and I remember saying, you can see penis. And they're like, no, you can't.
Pause, rewind,
penis.
Awesome. I guess we're doing Terminator.
The dick has spoken.
Actually, you know what it really is a lot? It's a lot like when you see Batman's penis in that very expensive to buy comic book now. By the way, I almost bought that comic. I literally was out to go get it, and he had just sold the last one. Yeah. That's now worth like hundreds of dollars. Anyways, Batman penis, Arnold Schwarzenegger penis. Let's see a robot.
I don't know how to respond to that, but yes, let's do it. Let's do it.
Sold. All right.
All right, guys. Next week, we will watch Terminator.
Sweet.
Yes, I'm excited to see if this one holds. And with Michael Biehn.
Oh, yeah. Michael Biehn, terrible track record in surviving James Cameron movies. Actually, I don't think he's ever survived a James Cameron movie.
No, I don't think he has. But that
Bill,
you know,
Paxton.
Did not survive.
Nope. He is the only person who had been killed by an alien, a predator, and a Terminator.
What a legend. Love that
Gone
guy.
Too soon.
Yep.
All right.
Pour some for the homies. On that note, send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com or check us out on the Facebook, and we will see you guys next week. We'll be back.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Movies!
Well, you know what I realized, though?
What?
It's going to be really hard to do, like, should this be sequeled?
We'll have to imagine a world. In a world where Terminator sequels don't exist.
A lot of people wish for... Well, except, no, there isn't anybody in the world who has ever said, you know what movie sucks? Terminator 2.
Yeah, that movie is awesome.
That movie is fantastic. All right, anyways, we'll get into it. All right, everybody.
Good night. Say something.
I have nothing.